Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. If we can work together, you guys get sick of me saying that. So there's a bunch of Delphi people here that I get to run into, and I get to tell them happy today, happy Wednesday. I'm very grateful that you guys carved time out of your days that I know are busy, they're full, to come and spend some time with other guys that are trying to be more Christ-like. So, appreciate you coming. How many of you have ever eaten in a restaurant? All right, now I'm looking for the hands that didn't go up. Everybody has eaten in a restaurant. When we do, a lot of times we'll pick a restaurant based on the type of food we like, the speed of the service, the price of the food, how much we have to spend, how much we want to spend. We make all those decisions based on, and we take those things and then we decide where we want to go. And we go in there. But regardless of what restaurant you pick, there's always one thing that's common in every one of those restaurants. They always find you. The waitress shows up, hands you your bill. You open it up, you get your money out, put it in the slot, and hand it off. Right? Always have to pay the bill. Well, do you realize that you have a spiritual bill that you owe? Every one of us. Not based on what we've done or what we've not done. It's a bill that we owe, and one day, it's got to be paid. Black and white. But if you're sitting in Martino's, and a waitress comes up with her folder, and you think she's going to lay it on the table, and she says, "Sir, Kent, that person over there paid your bill. That person over there paid what you owed." Some of you have probably had that happen. Some of you have probably paid for somebody's. But if you're sitting at Martino's and they come up with this, and then she points out somebody that says, "Your bill's paid for." Now you're in kind of a predicament because now you have a choice to make. Do I sit here and I'm grateful for what they did for me? And I go over to the table and I show them how grateful I am and I thank them? And I walk away going, "Man, I can't believe they did that. I didn't do anything to deserve it. It wasn't that I was good enough or anything like that. They did it because of them." So that's one choice. You can accept it, or you can reject it. You can sit there in that booth at Martino's and say, "You're not paying my bill." Our pride will creep up, and our pride will make us do stupid things. We'll sit there and we'll say, "They're not paying my bill. Here, waitress, take my money and pay my bill. They're not paying it." So the question is, which one are you doing when it comes to your spiritual bill? Are you accepting it with wholehearted gratefulness and gratitude? Or are you rejecting it? The bill's coming due and it's got to be paid. Well, our study this semester is from the book of John, as you know. And it's where we learn to see a little bit more like Jesus, learn a little bit more like Jesus through the eyes of John. So I want to read a passage here from John 1, starting at 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" I'm going to give you the Sanborn translation for this. When it says the next day, John saw Jesus coming. The day before, John was baptizing, and the Jews and the Levites and the priests, or the Pharisees, were all there, and they were quizzing him, and they were saying, "Are you the Christ? Because you're baptizing people." And he's saying, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the guy you're looking for. Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "Are you the prophet?" "No, I'm not the prophet. There's somebody that's coming after me that is the Christ." So, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look! The Lamb of God! Who's taken the sins of the world away! This is the guy I told you about! This is the guy! This is the guy I've been preaching about and baptizing for! This is the guy! Not me! Him!" It was, and I guarantee you, it was not a boring, flat, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It's not that. He was thrilled because all his life he'd been working for this day. He was working for this day. He was looking for this day. And it came. So there's excitement in that. Oh man, there's excitement in that. And John calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Why in the world would he call him the Lamb of God? Aren't lambs defenseless? Aren't they dirty and nasty and dumb? Aren't they vulnerable and prone to getting lost? Why in the world would they associate Jesus Christ, who has authority over all of creation, and they call him a lamb? Well, the answer is in Exodus. It's the first Passover. You all know about it because you've seen Charlton Heston do it in the Ten Commandments. So you know how it comes out. In Exodus, God tells the Israelites to take a spotless lamb, kill it, take the blood, paint the door frames of the houses, and when God sent the destroyer, he said, "I will pass over all the homes that have the blood of the lamb over the door frame. I will pass over the houses that had the blood of the lamb. And the destroyer will not be allowed to touch them." The blood of the Lamb protected the Israelites. The blood of the Lamb saved the Israelites. From that point on, lambs were used as sacrifices for forgiveness of sins. When you needed a sin offering, you used a lamb. And every year at Passover time, families were required to get their spotless, defect-free lamb. The father would take the family, go to the temple with the lamb, go up to the priest, and then all the families would reach out and put their hands on this lamb, and they would symbolically transfer all the sins of the family. The individual sins and the family sins. They would take those sins and they would transfer them onto this lamb. And then the throat of that lamb would be cut. And there's a priest there underneath with a bowl to catch the blood from the lamb's throat. And they would take that bowl of blood and they would go out and they would sprinkle it over the altar in the temple. And that is how those families receive forgiveness. So when John proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," it makes me wonder what was going on in those people's minds when they heard that. Because they understood the connotation of how lambs were used for sacrifice. They probably didn't clearly understand what he was talking about. But Hebrews 9:22 says, "In fact, The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Romans 3:25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. And Isaiah 53 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He didn't open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter. And as a sheep, before its shearers is silent, He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. Yet who of this generation protested? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, He was punished. That's a prophecy where He's talking about Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God, being led to slaughter like a lamb. Simply put, Jesus is the Lamb of God because God transferred all of our sins and He transferred them onto Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ went to a cross where He shed His blood so that we could have forgiveness. I can't fathom that. When God knows what our hearts are like, when He knows what we're like, when He knows what we think and how we treat people, and He did that, I love a lot of you in here, but none of you are getting my boys. But He did it because He loves us. John 3:16, you see it all the football games? Memorize it as a child. And I don't like taking John 3:16, just taking that one out of context, without 17 and 18. John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And then 17 goes on to say, for God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through Him. So basically God's saying, you know, things are looking pretty bad, they're pretty dim, but I'm giving you an escape hatch. Colossians 1:19 and 20 says, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's making a way for us. September 10th, 2010. I got this in the mail. It's a tuition bill from the University of Arkansas. One of the lowest days of my life. It was good that it was Arkansas. We're big Razorback fans now. But it was one of the most shameful days that I've ever experienced. And the reason is, I knew it was coming, and I wasn't ready. 19 years, I knew this was coming in the mail. For 19 years, we talked about it, and we weren't ready. We neglected it. We procrastinated because college is, it's 19 years away. We've got plenty of time to get right with the University of Arkansas. It's 15 years away. It's 10 years. It's 5 years. It's next year. September 10th, 2010 is the day of reckoning. And it's still painful for me to think about that. And I know that, I realize that some of you probably can't relate to that because you're good financial planners, you're good planners, you're good, great with your money. But I would say that every one of us in this room has something that we're neglecting and something that we're procrastinating on. Whether it's the doctor's report because we don't change our lifestyle. Whether it's wives walking in on you on the when you're looking at porn on the computer saying, it's going to go away, I'll do better, I'll stop tomorrow. This spiritual bill is going to be due one day. You can't neglect this. You can't procrastinate on this. It is coming. Don't do what we did with the tuition bill. The consequences are too great. You know, we can get a loan here. You can't get a loan on your sins. Good news is today you can decide who's paying your bill. Today you can decide. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That means Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Make sure that you understand that. Seek out the truth and make sure that you that you have a full understanding of that. Don't neglect it. Don't procrastinate. And then John 3:18. This comes right after 16 and 17, obviously. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So you have a choice. You can accept the gift from the person that's paying your bill, or you can reject it. You can push it away and say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll take care of it myself. On January 26th of this year, I had the privilege of speaking here at Huddle. 10 days later, I had the waitress walking up and getting ready to lay this thing on the table in front of me. I thought my bill was due. Because that day, I had a heart attack. And the doctors tell me that there's no reason I should be alive. I know the reason. Because many of you in this room were standing in the gap for me when I couldn't do it on my own. The prayers of all of the men and women and churches and friends and family that were lifting me up during this time is what got me through. I picture the waitress walking up getting ready to put this on and all of the patrons in the restaurant going, no, not yet, not yet. Don't give it to them yet. Okay. The doctors told us that the type of heart attack that I had, that it's most prevalent in postpartum women. So I figure I'm starting manopause. That 80% of the people with this type of heart attack die instantly. They don't even make it to the hospital. And the doctors told us that there have not been enough men that have survived this heart attack to even do a study. I don't know why I'm here. I am grateful for every day. You can say my priorities shifted because the bill was coming due. It was a wake-up call for me. So for all practical purposes, this whole message boils down to a simple path. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. It doesn't, you don't get counted for the good that you do. You get counted because we have a sinful nature. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. It's really a simple message. The black and white of it. We have a bill that we owe that's got to be paid. Who's going to pay it? Is it going to be you, or is it going to be Jesus Christ? It's your choice. And 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for He says, in the time of My favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Don't neglect it. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Deal with this decision now. Your families, your eternity are depending on it. They're hanging in the balance. So that when the waitress walks up to you and says, here's your bill, how are you paying for it? You've got an answer. You say, my bill is paid in full. Jesus Christ has paid it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, God, I thank You so much for the simplicity and the love of the message of Jesus Christ, the hope that comes with it. I pray, O God, that right now You would move in our hearts, that You would stir, that there would be a turbulence in every one of our hearts to be drawn to You, that You would take over, God, that we would commit to loving You and serving You, and we would allow You to pay the bill that we owe. Thank You so much, God, for what You did, for the length that You went to show us that You love us. We would never do that, God. And I'm so grateful that You did. Thank You so much, God. Bless this discussion right now. And I pray that these men will be drawn to You in a way that they didn't expect. And then they'll come to answers and they'll see the truth comes from Your Son. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.